Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. Hey, are you trying to recover and maybe even fall pregnant naturally? I thought that might be you. And if so, we have created our best ever yet resource for you. Totally free. This is a masterclass. I've called it my masterclass because I have put everything into this, right? This masterclass is designed for you if you have HA or have had HA and are dealing with suboptimal cycles and you're serious about restoring those babies to full optimization and you want to create the ideal foundation for a pregnancy. This is going to be for you. So in this masterclass, I'm going to provide you a lot of things, including a lot of case studies, mine, Ashley's and Mishi's, as well as lots of our past clients and what their challenges were and what they had to do to overcome it. And we cover a really wide variety of types of cases of HA. So everything from primary amenorrhea and missing periods for years and years to short-term amenorrhea and what we did to handle that situation as well, and how long it took these people to go from HA to pregnant with this system, and how long it took them to go from HA to ovulating, of course, with this system. So lots of information, lots of case studies, lots of stats. We go through why this is not a weight gain plan and how we actually divide you into phases, the three phases of HA, and determine what your starting point is so that you have a good idea of where you need to start with your actual changes in lifestyle and nutrition changes. We even cover questions like HA and people with a normal BMI and recovery for people who have had HA for too long. There's so much in this 60-minute masterclass. Y'all, I'm impressed. And at the end, I'll also be running you through how to get a free HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis through us, which is a part of our process for recovery and preconception clients that we're happily going to give you for free $99. As a massive thank you, of course, for joining the masterclass. So go to thehasociety.com/masterclass or head to our website and you'll find a link for it and find when the next available presentation is going to be. That's thehasociety.com/masterclass. Hey guys, welcome back to the HA podcast. It's me, Dani, and I'm here with our guest today, Lena. She's been a part of the HA Society. She's been in the Restore program and she has a really great, beautiful story to tell about her journey from HA to, I guess, recovery to pregnancy. And so I wanted to invite her on and just kind of sit back and listen and hear her version of events. To help inspire us all. So, Lena, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dani. Thank you so much for inviting me here today.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. It's an absolute pleasure. I know Ashley loved working with you so much. I didn't get to you. So it's kind of like there's lots I don't really know. And I'm just keen to sit back and listen. So would you do me a favor or do everyone a favor and kind of introduce yourself, where you're from, what you're doing, and tell us what happened, what the story was.
Yes. So hello, everyone who's listening. My name is Lena. I am half French, half Japanese. So I was born in Japan, but I mainly grew up in France, but I was exposed to, both cultures growing up. And in the past few years, I was specializing and working in the field of health and nutrition. Which is really great, but I think also because of this, I became really obsessed with health and food and yeah, just lifestyle. So yeah, I guess, I mean, my story of losing my period started in November 2019 when I lost my period. And I got it back after working with the HA Society with Ashley and then the Restore program. I got it back last year in July 2023. But yeah, I would say the story of losing my period just begins much before this. So much before actually losing my period, but it was a lot of stress and dieting and exercising, and this starts since my very young age.
Okay, so what is that very young age? What did that look like? Let's start there.
Okay. Yeah, it might be a little long story. But when I grew up, so I grew up in France, and I just remember when I was very, very young, I think I was maybe around 6 or 7 years old, I got the first imprint that gaining weight it was something that was bad, because I would sit at the family table with my French family, and I remember seeing, maybe it was around Christmas or something, but I remember seeing my female cousin who were much older than I was, who were skipping either desserts or who were only eating the appetizer. And I was just wondering why, you know, why the men were eating whatever they wanted, but the women were saying, oh, I need to keep the line. This is how we say in French, I need to keep the line. It means I need to stay skinny. So I'm gonna skip dessert. And at that time, I was so young that I didn't really understand, but I started to make the connection that okay, food has something to do with the body, and the body is something that women are concerned about. And then I also remember when I was really, really young, that my mom was Japanese, and then my mom was criticized for her body by my French, some of the fam my French family members. And I remember she was crying, and then I think that was the first time that I really realized, okay, gaining weight or being a little bit overweight is something that is very bad. And at school, it continued because some of the girls were bullied for their body type. So it was really, and especially I was growing up around Paris. So this diet mentality, and then that the woman had to be skinny, was very much in the society. And I guess that's where I was always skinny when I was growing up. But when I was around 15 or 16, my body started to change, and then I was not fitting in my clothes anymore, and my hips started to grow, and so I became very concerned about my body. And at the same time, I was reading a lot of fitness magazine and health magazines because I wanted to look like beautiful women and models, fashion models. So yeah, that was not great because I was seeing all of these pictures and the pictures of models. And when I was going to the city, there were many skinny women. And that really gave me the message that I needed to change either my lifestyle or diet in order to fit in them. So since the age of, I think, 16 or 17, I was always on a diet. I was either exercising too much or dieting like crazy. And I tried so many different things. And yeah, when I went to university at 18, I think this is when it got even worse because I went to Canada, and then it was the first time I was away from my family, which meant that I was cooking by myself. And instead of my mom cooking very nourishing traditional Japanese meals, I started to cook salads and smoothies, and I was also influenced by my female roommates who were always dieting and always going to the gym. So this is also what I started doing. And yeah, I became very, very obsessed. And at the same time, it was difficult because moving to Canada, there were many events or at the cap or yeah, events where there were many sweets that I never used to have. For example, in France, for example, I don't know, big donuts or really delicious muffins, those kind of things I wouldn't get in France. I was very tempted by it, but these became really my cheat day food or my binge foods. And yeah, I continued to diet and diet. I mean, I was hopping from one diet to another. And then at one point, I think it was when I was 20, I became completely vegan. So I did it from good intention for the environment and for the animals. But it was also kind of an excuse to not eat all of the pastries and to not have, I mean, to kind of add another layer of restriction, which felt good at that time. And then I was following many vegan influencers who were eating super clean, and it inspired me, but at the same time, I think it added me a lot of restrictions. And then I did that for 3 years. And eventually I stopped because I started to feel that my body was kind of getting weaker, and then that my hormones were maybe being affected. And then I went vegetarian, but then at the same time, I think mid 2019, I started to do intermittent fasting. And then when I started to do intermittent fasting, about 2 months later, I lost my period. And for for the rest of the 3.5 years, I was losing my period. I didn't have my period, and then I was still intermittent fasting. I stopped after like maybe about a year, but I was still doing different kinds of diet and doing a lot of sports and being active. And I think I was also having a lot of stress with work and a lot of pressure, and then I was also traveling a lot. So these all contributed to hypothalamic amenorrhea. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that the audio cut out, but you're just like
Ah,
hypothalamic amenorrhea.
no.
Okay, perfect. So I think that background makes sense, and I'm glad that you kind of deep dived into it because it's very relatable. And sometimes we do really skip over like, how did this happen? How did we get where we are? And we don't, enough of us don't reflect on like why we believe what we believe. Right. And so I can see how you've done so much sort of digging to be like, where did this come from? What were my influences? And I mean, especially those, because how old are you?
When it started, right
No.
now,
Yeah.
I'm 29.
Right. So, yeah. So when we were kids, I mean, that the sort of early 2000s, it was like just rail thin. Supermodels, like with the low rise jeans, like just not like it was a lot. It was actually a lot of pressure. And we didn't have any of the messaging that's actually starting to come through now of like, those are heavily photoshopped images. And like, the, you know, so it, we got really messed up. And while I still think the next generation's just as up shit creek, that's kind of what happened. So, okay. So, take me now to like figuring out that you have a problem and deciding to fix it and what you tried and sort of that whole process.
Yeah, it's crazy because when I lost my period, I mean, when I lost my period, the first few months or even the first year or second year, I was like, oh, good. I'm not gonna have my period. That means maybe more freedom, less things to think about. I'm free to make my own schedule because I was having a lot of period pain. So every time I would have my period, once a month, I would deal with a lot of pain. So that meant for me, not having my period was kind of a freedom. So I was not really thinking about it the first maybe year. But my mother was concerned, and some of my family members were concerned. And I was going to doctors, and they were telling me, oh, you need to get some hormones or the pills. And I knew that there was a problem, but I was not paying so much attention to it. And it was only maybe at the end of second year or even third year that I started to think that, okay, maybe now there's something wrong. It's been really, really long that I don't have my period. It means that something in my body is not doing good. So I should start considering fixing it. But I really didn't make any link between my diet mentality and not having my period. So these were two separate things. And then I started to be interested in women's health and reading a lot of books. And some of the books were mentioning that a low calorie diet and over exercising contributes to loss of period. But I thought that my problem was something else. I don't know why. I thought that my problem was either too much stress from work or too much traveling or something emotional. But I felt I was maybe I didn't want to look the reality in front of my eyes. And then I started to go back to see some doctors and do blood tests. And the thing is that most of my blood parameters were coming back normal, or at least that was what my doctors were telling me, is that, oh, everything is normal. You don't have any problems. Your uterus is fine. There is nothing. I was doing some checkups and everything was fine. So the only thing that the doctors could tell me was to get the pills. And I knew this is something that I really didn't want, because I was reading those books about women's health, and I knew that the pill would not fix the root of the problem. And I also had the pill when I was 15 to, I think, 18 years old. And I remember how it messed up my cycles after stopping it. So I was like, I really don't want to go back to the pills. And this is where I started to see some other alternative therapists. So I started with acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine. I started to see some herbalists, yoga teachers, and Ayurvedic counselors. So I was really seeking for different kind of therapies and different kind of help. And I believe everything helped in some sort, but I still didn't get back my period, because although I was taking all the herbs or doing acupuncture, now I know I was still undernourished and I was still very stressed. So even if I was getting all these beautiful treatments, which I still really believe, and I still really believe that they can help, I was the root of the problem was still not fixed. And I don't know how I started to realize that maybe it was related to my diet mentality, but I think maybe at the end of the third year of HA, I was very concerned with my body image, and I started to think that this was a problem and that I really needed to fix this diet mentality because it was affecting my life too much. I was controlling my days around food and exercise, and my work was also influenced by that. So I started to feel like, okay, this is something that I would like to work on. And I think at the end of 2022, I met a Reiki healer, and she did a Reiki session with me, and she told me, oh, Lina, you really need to connect more to your feminine side, so to your feminine body, to accept your feminine body, but also to nurture your feminine femininity. And this was something that I really didn't understand what she was talking about. But she did some sessions with me, and then by talking to her, I understood that I had to be much more gentle with myself, and I had to approach my body in a very different way and talk to my body in a very different way as well, and to also change my lifestyle, because my lifestyle was very, very masculine, and it was always do, 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 and be more productive, do more. Do always more. And I was never taking rest. I was never allowing myself to ask or receive help. So I think she first put an input inside me that I needed to change something in my life. And I think at around the same time, I discovered, no, a little bit later in 2023, I discovered your podcast. I don't remember how, but I think I was just researching woman without period or something like that on YouTube. And then Yeah, that's how I found you. I was looking for amenorrhea on YouTube, and then one of your video came, and it was crazy. I watched one of the videos and I got so hooked. I watched another one and then another one, and then I resonated so much with when you were talking, especially about the food and then about exercise. And then I think it was the first time when I realized, okay, maybe I really, really need to fix this by eating more and exercising less. So at the beginning, I was listening to your podcast and implementing some changes that you were talking about, but it was so hard to do it myself. And a few months later, you were advertising for or you were recruiting some clients for the Restore program, and I felt really the call to do it, because I knew I couldn't do it alone and I really needed help. So I took a little bit of time to think about it, because I think I was really scared to go into this journey and really being coached, and I knew what I, you know, what the coach would tell me, and I think that was scaring me. But I knew if I really want to recover, I need to accept this. So yeah, this is when I signed up, and then after a month of signing up, I had my period, and 3 months after I was pregnant. So this was really, yeah, really crazy.
Hey, do you know what your blind spots are? As in, do you know what it is, what the thing is that is holding you back from getting your period back? Look, it could be an absolute plethora, cornucopia of things, but in our practice, the first place we tend to go is what behaviors and habits do you have around food that you may be still doing? And these are called blind spots because we just don't necessarily always know that they're an unhelpful habit, or that it's something that we're doing, whether it be a subconscious or conscious need to control our food or our body, or whether it be something that you've just done for so long that it feels normal and like a preference even. We have created a checklist. It's a 3-page checklist that goes through food types, behaviors around food, and mindsets around food. And what you do is you go through the lists and you check off and you see which ones are you doing, whether it be daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and how are they potentially affecting your recovery today. So it's a really simple checklist. It's just 3 pages. You go through it. There's a very simple scoring system to help you figure out how much this may be impacting your recovery. And it's just an insightful thing for you to do to help you reflect, and then you can journal about it, or you can learn more about it and just start really working at any of the boxes that you checked and understanding that they're playing a role in your recovery. So to get the checklist, all you have to do is go to thehasociety.com/blindspot, and we'll send it straight through to you. You can print it off and you can check on it every now and then. I always recommend a reflection point every like 4 to 6 weeks. How are you going? Are you still checking that behavior off, or have you you know, systematically kicked it to the curb. So check it out. It's thehasociety.com/blindspot, and it will be waiting for you there.
So cool. So people are going to want to know though, like, so what were the parts that were like, you've alluded to, right? Like you tried all these beautiful treatments. Mm-hmm. They helped to a certain degree, you know, then eventually figuring out like, you're just going to need to eat some more food, like, but this is hard, you need help. What were those sort of final steps that you needed to take that you think really got you across the line? And what was it like to do that?
Yes. So I think one of the things that helped me was in one of the game planner that you gave to me really at the beginning of the challenge and or the program, it was a nutritional assessment and an exercise audit. And it was about, you had a lot of questions about my nutrition and how I was eating, the frequency, the quantity, the type of food. And then I realized how much rules and how much restrictions I was having. So I was still, I was not counting my calories anymore. But for example, let's say I was only eating one tablespoon of nut butter and never two, or I was never eating sugar, or I was skipping breakfast. And I thought that these kind of things were fine, but by doing your nutritional assessment, I realized, oh wow, I still have so many rules. And then one of the exercise that you made us do was to list all of these food rules and the exercise rules and to really reflect on each one of those, like, this is what I did, why I'm not allowing myself two tablespoons of nut butter, why am I not allowing myself to have two scoops of ice cream instead of one, like all of these. And then I started to see that it was a lot of fear and resistance, and I made a huge list of basically everything that I am not allowing myself to do. And I think the HA Society with all the calls really encouraged me to break these rules one by one. So it was super scary and super uncomfortable. But for example, you know, on the first week, it would be about breaking one or two rules that I was making. And on week two, it was about making another rule. And the more I was doing it, the more it became comfortable. But of course, at the beginning, it was very scary. But without the community call that we were having, I think I would never be able to do that by myself, because one of the other things that really helped me was the community calls that we would have every week. And with everyone else, we would really look at our diet. And when collectively, I mean, when you are looking at our diet and exercise and lifestyle and our challenges, and when we are speaking about it vulnerably and very openly with everyone else, I realized that, okay, we are all the same. We all have the same fears. Let's all do it together. And then you're really encouraged to do that. So yeah, I think it was really this community that really helped me and really start breaking those rules one by one.
That is such a great plug for the we'll have to take that clip and put it up as an ad. I love that you brought all that up, because it does require that sort of deep work. And like, that's the crux of the issue, right? Is like, everybody kind of knows that it's about eating and relaxing and like stepping back and stepping into your like actual sort of feminine energy and all these things. But like, what does that actually mean? And sometimes we're still approaching it with a masculine energy, or we're still we're just approaching it with fear and like holding back. But when you see other people, which is also the joy of the podcast, right? When you hear about other people that are like doing the hard thing, you know, it's so encouraging.
And yeah, I think this is sorry. No, I think this is something that really helped me even before the Restore program to be exposed to the stories of women who recovered, because that gave me a lot of faith and strength to know that I was able to do it. You know, before that, my, let's say my social media or my Instagram was filled with models who were dieting or some, you know, health gurus, and this really didn't help me actually, but completely clearing that and then exposing myself to the woman who recovered, or through the podcasts and through the community, I realized, okay, I need to rewrite the story. I need to change my narratives, and I need to change my intention, that my intention is not to be fit, but it's to get my period back. And then that would mean to let go of my identity as a fit girl, or just the health guru. And it was not easy, but I think it really required consistently to just watch and listen to the stories of other people.
It's like it is beneficial to just sit and listen to them and listen to them and listen to them, because by the time you're done, you've had like 50 people, you know, tell, like, that you resonate with, tell you are not crazy, like, this is real, and you can try this, and like, you're gonna be okay, and you are gonna be okay. So like, you went and so that's one of my last questions for you, really, is like, so you went and did the things that were scary, right, that you like were holding on to, didn't want to do, let go of. And how does that feel today? Like, looking back, was it that scary? And how do you reflect on it now?
Yeah, well, it was really a big journey for me. And I think this, to be honest, I think this journey is still here. I, of course, have some bad days or days where I still judge my body and I judge my food and then I judge my exercise. So I can't say that I'm completely healed from this diet mentality, and I'm still doing a lot of work around it. But when I look back, I think one of the hardest thing was that when you're on this recovery journey and then when you start implementing changes and eating more and exercising less, you don't know how long it's going to take. And I remember for some women, they were implementing the changes and then it would take a lot of time. And for me, it took maybe a few months since I really started to do the change. I would say maybe 2-3 months. But the hardest thing is that you don't know when it's going to happen. And I think it's to still make the changes. And when I look back right now, I'm like, oh, wow, it was totally worth it, because if I didn't do it, then I would maybe still not have my period and then I would not be pregnant. So now that I am pregnant, I'm, of course, so happy. And then I'm like, oh, wow, I'm so, so, so happy that I started to make changes. And some of them were really hard for me. For example, to eat animal protein every day, I was vegan and vegetarian. So although I was having some fish or eggs some time to time, having it every day was difficult for me. And but I still kept my intention of, I want to get my period back, I want to have a fertile body, I want to get my hormones level normal. And doing the hard things really worth it at the end of the day. And today I would say I'm still sometimes struggling with diet mentality and feeling guilty when I'm eating certain food. But I became also, throughout this process, I became, I think, much more gentle with myself, that if I do something excessively, or if I go back to a diet mentality or a pattern or an old habit, instead of really feeling guilty and judging myself, I just accept it and then forgive myself. Or I still continue to do a lot of cognitive work with around this you know, my relationship with my body, because I think it's something that started so young that I cannot fix it overnight, and I really have to see it almost every day and still work with people and therapists to be able to, yeah, just get a better and better relationship with my body. And I think this is what helps me today. Even once I recover, I know that I need to still be on this path, because otherwise it's so easy to go back to my old habits. It's something that I've been doing for years and years. So it's really, really easy to go back dieting and exercising, but I don't want to go back to this place, because after the recovery, I felt so much freedom and happiness. And it was so nice to, you know, wake up and be like, okay, I'm gonna go to the bakery and then buy my favorite pastries in France, which I used to forbid myself for so long. Or let's say, oh, let's do a movie night. And so, okay, I'm gonna go buy ice cream and then go buy ice cream. Like, all of these kind of things gives me so much freedom. And now that I recovered, I'm also able to eat much more mindfully and intuitively, which I was not able to do before. So, of course, I think mindful eating and intuitive eating requires first to be recovered completely, because it means that you understand now fully your hunger cues and you understand about your body and then your body needs. But once I understood that, I was able to really honor much more my body, and it feels so much more freeing, because I don't have to think about food all the time. I don't have to plan all the food. I don't have to plan all the exercise. It's more,
yes,
it's free. It's like true freedom.
Yes, you can get up and be like, what do I actually care about today? And what do I actually want to put my energy to? And it's like, I love it too, because just looking at you, you are just like, have such a beautiful glow, and you just seems like so healthy. And it's like, you know, the fear is that we won't have those things if we let go of control. Mm-hmm, but like, you know, I feel like I am peaking at 32, you know, because I'm healthy and I have everything. My body has everything that it needs, and I can stress less. And it's like, we go down this path, and at a young age, we get told like, take control of it now. And then it just gets out of hand. And like, but the beauty of the journey is that you get to appreciate like how amazing it feels to have that freedom.
Yeah, that's true, because I think before I didn't realize that, for example, going out with friends to a restaurant without checking the menu first was so fun. Like now, I mean, I love going out and I love hunting for new nice restaurants. So I always kind of check the menu, but just not from a diet point of view, but more for curiosity. But it was so freeing to, for example, decide last minute to go somewhere. Or even before, I was not allowing myself to have dinner, I don't know, after 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. because I was like, no, if it gets too close to sleep, the food is not going to be digested and it's going to turn into fat, like these kind of things. And now I'm like, no, if I'm not hungry at 6 or 7, then I will eat later, and then I eat at 8 or 9, and it's okay if I go to sleep after. It's just these kind of little habits that changed, that gives so much more space. It's but it also required to let go of a lot of beliefs and myth. And I think in order to do that, we really need to, I mean, I needed to put them all on a paper and really question each of my beliefs. And that takes a lot of time and commitment. But it really, really helps, because I understand, okay, this belief comes from this nutrition coach that I don't even believe anymore, or this belief
yes.
So it's a lot of also questioning and deep work in order to really heal, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. We can't like, that's like a favorite takeaway from this, is that we can't just come into this sort of like willy-nilly, like trying this on and that on and not like really taking the time to reflect on ourselves and like how we got here.
Yeah,
I it's so important if you want to actually make change. And those of us who don't do that really struggle to make sense of everything. And it just remains a conflict. They remain in that belief system. They feel like they're doing an unhealthy thing to get their period, and then they go back because they're not reflecting on reality, like where they came from. So yeah, I love that. I love that. And so
and I think it's also, for me, it was really, really important to do some, I would say, painful work. I did some shadow work and inner child healing a lot with a therapist and hypnotherapy. And because I think the relationship with our body is really rooted in a lot of fear and shame and guilt that we picked up during childhood. And sometimes it's not even linked to body image, but it's just linked to a deep sense of insecurity about ourselves. And in order to feel secure, in order to feel validated or accepted or loved, we start to control our body, because this is the only thing that we think, I mean, this is the only thing that I thought was giving me validation, was to be beautiful. And I thought that being beautiful was to be successful. But at the root of this, there was a deep fear of not being successful, not being loved. And this came from other stuff also during childhood. And I think for me, it was really, really important to work on these shadow and inner child wounds, because that allowed me to accept myself more. And when you do this automatically, I realized that, okay, I don't need to get validation from my body. I don't need to change my body in order to be loved, because yeah, there's something else at the root that gets fixed. So I think for anyone who's struggling with HA and who think that the root cause of the problem is not only food and diet, but it is your relationship to your body and your relationship to yourself, I think it's super important to seek for like a different kind of help to reprogram those deep fears and shame and guilt that you have around your body, and then also yourself.
Absolutely. You said something that I just want to like phrase as the phrase of today, which was like, I thought that to be beautiful was to be successful. I had that too. I had that same kind of belief. And it's like, wow, when you really dig deeper and deeper and deeper, we don't want to let go of our weight in the name of our fertility, because we fear that how we're perceived by others affects our ability to be successful. Like, it's actually nonsensical. Like, I understand and see where the belief comes from, but without digging into it, it's just going to you're just going to like wholeheartedly believe it, and you're not going to be able to move on. So I appreciate just like how deeply you've thought about this and how like deep your transformation runs. I think that's so beautiful. You so deserve to be 8 months pregnant right now.
No, thank you. Yeah, I'm really, really happy.
Are you excited about childbirth?
Yes, I'm super excited. I'm reading some few books about hypnobirthing and natural birth. And I don't know, somehow birth was something that I was always super excited about. And I always loved to watch birth videos. And yeah, it's something that is super exciting for me. So of course I have some fears, but I'm just really excited to go through this new journey. And I remember at the beginning of my pregnancy, I was talking with Ashley, And I was telling her, oh, you know, when once I became pregnant, I feel I'm going back to my old habits and patterns of wanting to control my diet again. And because now I was having the fears that if I eat something bad, it would affect the baby. And then I was going back to this, again, this diet mentality thing. And then Ashley told me, but Lena, the birth is something that you can really not control and you have to totally surrender. So it's the same for your lifestyle and habits and diet. You cannot control what you, everything that you're putting in your body. So just surrender and let go, and then nurture your body with how you feel. And then after, you know, I got morning sickness and I had to really let go and then surrender and just eat what I could eat. And then I was craving, yeah, like different kind of food as well. So it was really challenging a lot also, my diet mentality. And but at this time, when I became pregnant, I also could let go of a lot of fears and just really learn to, yeah, surrender. And I think that's really important for everyone also on this journey.
Yep. God is, it's like, it sounds like a buzzword, right? Like to surrender, but it's not. Like you gotta surrender to what your body is telling you it needs. Go with the flow. Like that's, you know, and you'll love it. Like, you know, that's the most exciting part, is that it actually feels good.
Yeah, it feels good. And I think it's because when we really allow ourselves to surrender, it's not so scary because it means that you're going back to your natural state. And I was always reminding myself of when I was looking at a flower or a tree or some elements of nature, we don't need to control anything, but the flower will bloom and the trees are growing. And whenever I needed to surrender, I was thinking about my favorite forest and I was like, okay, without controlling anything, they're so beautiful. It's so beautiful. So my body is the same. If I don't control anything and if I just surrender to the natural forest, my body will just come back to where it needs to be. And it's truly like this. I think, yeah, it just goes back to where you're supposed to be if you really allow yourself to let go of control.
Ah, so good, so wise, so good. You have had so much like wisdom and insightful advice to give today, and I think people are going to really appreciate it, and it's going to resonate so much. I'm so glad that you came into the group and that we got to meet you and that we get to see your journey, and I'm so excited for you to have your baby. Do you know if you're having a boy or a girl, or did you?
Yes, it's a girl. Yeah,
so amazing, congratulations.
Thank
yes
you.
We need photos, we need photos.
Yeah,
and I mean, before we sign off, I just want to make sure, is there anything else you definitely wanted everyone to know, or like any last words before you say bye-bye?
Yeah, well, first of all, I really want to say thank you, because it's really thanks to this podcast that I started my recovery journey. So when I discovered it about a year ago, and now I'm very, very honored to be on it and then to be able to speak to everyone else. But I think to all the women who are still on this journey, yeah, I would say small steps at a time if it seems difficult, but definitely take some steps and have faith and start with the easiest thing. It doesn't have to be, I didn't make all the changes overnight, but I really started with the smallest step that I could take, and then it becomes easier. It really, really does. But continue to break rules and I'm sure you're gonna get there.
For sure. Ah, so good. Thank you so much, Lena. I really appreciate you taking the time. Yeah. We appreciate you taking the time. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey there. It's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So TempDrop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking, all of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient-rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast. And if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.